Welcome to Boozy Bracketology, where we are the home of strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. My name is Jeff, and I'm going to be your host tonight as we take a closer look at the Disneyverse. We're breaking down all four theme parks in their own regions to battle it out for the title of Best Disney World Attraction. With me tonight are a motley crew of Disney files that are ready to make some tough decisions. So let's take a second to find out how they are and what is in their glass. Starting off tonight, we've got Mike.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, everybody. Tonight, I have the Mach 1 IPA from Rocket Republic Brewing Company. They're right here in Huntsville. Actually, I think they're out of Madison, which is right next door. I picked the Mach 1 because we have several rides that we're going to be discussing tonight that kind of fit in with that theme. So cheers to that. I've had this one on the podcast before, I think, either here or Pub Trivia Experience. This is a delicious IPA. Mm.
Can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong indeed. Sounds good on the other end, too. Up next, Marissa. How you doing? What's you drinking?
I'm doing all right, and I'm back on the Peach Crown and Zevia Cream Soda train.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. It's just delicious.
Yeah.
A dangerous drink for sure.
Oh, for sure. That's why I brought the whole bottle and sat it next to me.
Oh, good Lord. Well, this will be fun. This will be fun. Happy Monday for a recording.
Ha!
We kill a half a bottle of Crown Peach. Good stuff, good stuff. We are moving on to Joel. Joel, how are you doing tonight, and what is in your glass?
Joel is my name, and unpopular opinions is my game. We'll see how it goes tonight. tonight I'm drinking a, continuing with the blend series that I had last time. Today is a tailor-made brand blended wine, red wine from California. 13.5% alcohol by volume. And quite a nice vanilla and almost a dark berries aftertaste to it that is very smooth and luxurious.
Well, if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you are smooth and luxurious. Up next, we've got Nikki. Nikki, how you doing? And what is in your glass?
Oh, well, it's Monday, so I'm getting through by drinking some coffee. But I'm feeling prepared, though, because I did a little workout before this, and it was actually Disney-themed. Mm. So I was pretty excited about that. So now I'm feeling pumped.
Nice.
And I did the instructor had me do jabs to you're welcome. So I was like, you're welcome! Yeah!
That's how it feels sometimes. Very good. Very
jacked
good.
Up on pre-workout and princesses.
Yeah. Exactly. I know Disney music doesn't really inspire like hardcore workout, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be fun. All right, we are wrapping it up here, and we've got Steven. Steven, how you doing, and what is in your glass?
Disney music doesn't inspire a workout. What do you think Make a Man Out of You from Mulan is for? Come on. Let's get in the spirit. Speaking of, I'm getting in the spirit by downing a delicious wild cherry Pepsi. None of those farm-raised cherries. We're dealing with the real wild ones. You got to get them from a ranch hand. That's the only way to get good cherries for your soda.
Very good. Steven's hanging out with the feral cherries. And I myself am crowning off this great selection tonight with a Eagle Rare single barrel select from our local store down here, Lukens. Just a smooth, delicious drink. Well, we are going to dive into it, but first, let's do a rundown of all of our matches. Tonight, we are taking on the Hollywood Studios region. Our first matchup is the number one seed Rise of the Resistance versus the number 16 seed Disney Junior Dance Party. After that, we've got the Muppet Vision 3D at 8 seed versus the 9 seed of Star Tours. Then we've got the 5 seed of Tower of Terror versus the 12 seed Beauty and the Beast Live. Up next is the 4 seed of Smuggler's Run versus the 13 seed of Frozen Sing-Along. After that, we've got the 6 seed of Rock and Roller Coaster versus the 11 seed of the Indiana Jones Stunt Show. After that, we've got the 3 seed of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway up against the 14 seed Voyage of the Little Mermaid. And our second to last matchup is the 7 seed Toy Story Midway Mania versus the 10 seed Alien Swirling Saucers. And wrapping it up is our 2 seed Slinky Dog Dash versus our 15 seed of Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. Our first decision in the Rise of the Resistance versus the Disney Junior Dance Party is going to be up to Mike. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Well, one of these is a thrilling, immersive, amazing, borderline orgasmic experience with top-of-the-line effects that I honestly have been dreaming about since I was 5 and I never thought I'd see. And the other one is Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Wait. Well, I think I might have something messed up in my notes here. No, come on. This is Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. So easy. Disney Junior Dance Party. Yeah, I'm sure it's appealing for little kids. But Rise of the Resistance is amazing. It gets my vote hands down.
Rise of the Resistance picks up its first vote. And we are over to Marissa.
Yeah, I'm with Mike on this one. Our kids love Disney Junior Dance Party. At least they did when they were little. And now they're 10 and 9, or 11 and 9, and they're not going to want to go when their little sister wants to go due to Disney Junior Dance Party. Rise is a ride that most of us Star Wars people have dreamed about our whole lives, and I can't wait to actually be able to get on it. One day it'll go to a normal line. And I will be able to ride it. But I'm still going to give him my vote.
Very good. Rise of Resistance picks up its second vote. Joel.
Believe it or not, this was actually a fairly tough one for me. And it's not so much because I love Disney Junior Dance Party. I have to admit, I wasn't a fan of sitting Indian style on the floor or crisscross applesauce with my kids. I would have much preferred if they had benches in the back for the adults and so that we could sit and enjoy some air conditioning. But I am really not a fan of the queue system for Rise of the Resistance. Now, I love the fact that I don't have to wait in line. It's the fast pass. It's a virtual queue. But for whatever reason, it is not fast enough. And literally, I have been on it by the second and been told that it sells out. And so it's just not stable enough. The demand is there, but they can't handle it. And because of that, I think a lot of people are disappointed because they can't get into it. My father is a huge Star Wars fan, saw the originals back in the theater and was just geeked out by it. Paid for a single day ticket just to go on this ride and see the whole Star Wars area, and we did not get the passes that time, as many times as we've been on it. Plus it's riddled with technical issues and constantly down and stuff. I just feel like Disney didn't plan as well for the demand that was supposed to be there for this and how they were going to roll it out. That being said, if you are lucky enough to get on it, it is an amazing ride. I love the fact that it comes in stages, and spoiler alert, it's the whole reveal when you open the doors and you see rows and rows of stormtroopers, and the first time there's that magic that makes you feel like a kid again. So I got to go for Rise of the Resistance for me as well, as much as I'd hate to.
And Rise of the Resistance picks up a third and deciding vote, but we still have to hear from Nikki and Steven. Nikki, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because I've never gotten to go on it. And I think that the system and everything like that, if you're going to Disney World, you should be able to at least have a chance to get on it. I mean, it seems kind of weird that you can buy a ticket and you might not get on this ride. I mean, I understand, like, lines, things happen, but... a Disney Junior Dance Party, like, my daughter loved that one. I mean, they came out, there was bubbles everywhere, it was super cute. So I'm gonna give it to Disney Junior Dance Party. I actually want to be able to go on an attraction. I don't care how good the ride is, if I can't go on it, what's the point? So Disney Junior, I can get in.
Fair enough.
Very good. Disney Junior Dance Party picks up a vote. And let's hear from Steven.
So, yeah, the system to get in sucks, but if you're willing to do the time, I've been able to get on it every time I've tried to go through. Now, that was only one time. I've only been there one time since it's opened up, and I was there at Rope Drop, and I just clicked on the app, and I got right in. So I didn't have any problems getting into Rise of the Resistance. I've heard horror stories from everyone else, so I must have just been one of the fortunate ones. But there's a reason why it's possible to get on this ride, and it's because it's an incredible immersive experience. It's unlike any other ride you've ever gone on. The Disney Junior one, if I'm going to stop and watch kids being cute for a minute to take a break at Hollywood Studios, I'm going to watch the Jedi training one, because occasionally a five-year-old whaps the lightsaber way too hard and fairly clearly injury hurts one of the people. And I would much rather watch an accidental lightsaber hurting than I would see kids dancing Disney Junior. So nothing's going to get me to stop for Disney Junior, but I'm going to try like hell to be there at Rope Drop, geolocated, geofenced inside Hollywood Studios, so I can mash that button to get in. And it's really the only ride I'm going to do that for, because it is an incredible experience like no other ride. Rise of the Resistance all the way.
And Rise of the Resistance takes its commanding lead on to the next round. Up next, we've got Muppet Vision 3D versus Star Tours, and we're going over to Marissa.
So my decision's probably going to be controversial here. I love Star Wars. I love all things Star Wars. But you know what I don't like? Are simulator rides like this one. It makes me violently ill. I feel like I'm going to throw up the minute I step into it. I'm not claustrophobic. It's just, I don't know. The way that my brain works and my eyes just does not work with me. Muppets, it's funny. It's cute. It's funny. And it's not going to make me sick. So it's going to get my vote.
We're starting off with Muppet Vision 3D picking up a vote. Over to Joel.
Star Tours to me almost feels out of place because it's so far away from the rest of the Star Wars world and stuff. And it's just, it's poor placement. And after the quality that they brought the other rides up to, it almost seems cheesy to me. I really didn't like it. I wasn't a huge fan of it when it came out before. And now that they have the new Star Wars area there, that's one of those that we always skip all the time. However, the nostalgia part of me loves the Muppets. I love all the characters. And even my daughter has gotten into it since then, thanks to Disney Plus now. She's the one who told me, hey, they got the Muppet Show on there. And we started watching some of the old reruns of that. So my vote, too, is for Muppet Vision 3D.
And like that, Muppet Vision 3D picks up its second vote. Nikki?
Yeah. I mean, the Star Tours ride, I do enjoy it, but I think that it's probably on the way out. I feel like they're going to probably take that one out with all the Star Wars rides they already have, building up the Star Wars world. You know, and I'm kind of with Marissa, like, I don't mind simulation rides too much, but that one is really jerky, and I never feel that great on it. And I love the Muppets, so I always do Muppet 3D. I like to do that one, so I gotta give it to the Muppets.
And Muppet Vision 3D picks up its third vote. Steven?
What the fuck just happened here? Are you kidding me? Seriously? That, like, the Muppets are great. The Muppets are fine, but let's face it. Disney bought the Muppets and has had no clue what to do with them, and they haven't done anything to increase Muppet Vision 3D in 3 decades, maybe? How long has that been there? It's been the same damn show. At least Star Tours, they occasionally do a refurb, and it looks a little bit better than when it came out. Yeah, it's an old-school simulator. I get it. It's got issues, but come on, Muppet Vision. It's not even good 3D at this point. What are you doing? What are we here for? If this is the kind of decision making we're doing, well, how dare we put this podcast and force people to download it and listen to the drivel coming out of our mouths right now? That's I don't no. This vote is for Star Tours, and I'm sorry, but you and Bean Bunny can get the fuck out of here.
Oh, well, now that everyone is in on the secret, we are forcing you to listen to this, and Star Tours did pick up its first and rightful vote. We are moving on and hearing what Mike has to say about all this.
Well, this is actually really funny because in my head, I was on the fence on this one. I was kind of leaning towards Star Tours, but I kind of agree with what the other folks have said in regards to it was better when it was the only Star Wars ride, and now that it's not, it pales in comparison to the rest, and because it's so far away from them, it seems a little out of place. I actually still like it. I think it's a fun ride, but even though I was going to lean there, I was kind of sitting here when I first looked at the order, and I said, oh, I'm going to be the last vote, so I'll throw Muppet Vision 3D a bone at the end, because I do really love the Muppets, and then Muppet Vision 3D has already won, so I can't let Star Tours not get a second vote here. I mean, I think these are both good attractions. They're both pretty much destined to I would hazard to guess, especially now, lose next round. So, but Muppet Vision's already moving on. We don't get the Star Wars versus Star Wars themed ride matchup that I was assuming we would get, but I will throw Star Tours a token second vote.
And bringing it close, Mike also makes the correct choice. Well done. I'm going to remain unbiased here as we move on to our next round. We have the 5-seed Tower of Terror going up against the 12-seed of Beauty and the Beast Live. And we're going to hear from Joel first.
Being a music and theater connoisseur that I am, I actually love the Beauty and the Beast Live show. We always kind of end up sitting behind the thing, the sound booth, and kind of just watching the whole orchestration of the live performers. I'm kind of a sucker for the live performances as well, too. And Beauty and the Beast would have gotten my vote had it been 95, 96, whenever Tower of Terror came out. Because just one drop would have been, meh, no reason to do it, right? Even later on when they changed the programming to two drops, I would have gone, eh, not a fan of it. You know, I could pass it every time. But since they've randomized the drops and how many you get, the distance of them, and even accelerated how fast it drops and stuff to give you more of that feel of the weightlessness and being pulled down, it's become a favorite of mine, even though I'm terrified of heights. I kind of enjoy that. So my vote is for Tower of Terror.
All right, very good. Tower of Terror picks up the first vote. Nikki, what do you say here?
Yeah, I mean, Beauty and the Beast also is one of my favorite little shows, if you're going to sit down. I mean, I think the Hollywood Studios has some of the better show options. I mean, you know, they have Fantasmic in the evening. I mean, they still have Fantasmic right now. I don't know. I guess they're not doing it. I don't know. But I love that show. So Beauty and the Beast is one of the better ones. I mean, it is kind of like a cute little 30-minute Broadway quality, you know, little show. It's great, especially when you need a break. But I don't think it can beat Tower of Terror. Tower of Terror, to me, is still one of the best rides. I think it's cool. I mean, yeah, the Twilight Zone thing might be a little passe now, but I think it's cool. So I'm going with Tower of Terror on that one.
All right, and Tower of Terror picks up its second vote. Steven, what say you?
Yeah, I'm never not going to go to the Beauty and the Beast theater. That's just part of going to Hollywood Studios for me. I love that show. I think it's the perfect amount of time. I think you could actually tell even if you've never seen Beauty and the Beast, you can get the entire story from it. I think it's a really well put together production. And if you get there early, sometimes they have the a cappella group come out and sing, and that's pretty cool too, because you get a cappella Disney songs that you don't usually get. But Tower of Terror is right next door, and it's the fucking Tower of Terror. I mean, it really is a good thrill ride. It lasts long enough. The line usually isn't terrible as long as you're not going there in the middle of summer. Although, you know, the problem is it's right next to Aerosmith. We'll talk about Aerosmith later. Tower of Terror is a great ride. It is a real thrill. I always place a $1 bet with whoever I'm with, or at least with my brother, to see if it's going to go up or going to go down. We never pay each other. We always forget to make the payments. It's a great ride. It legitimately is a great ride. And even if they have to retheme it to a non-Tower of Terror Twilight Zone thing in the near future, it's still absolutely worth going on. Absolutely, it's not a complete day without Tower of Terror. And I usually try to do it 2-3 times because I love it. It's great.
All right. Just like that, Tower of Terror does pick up its third vote. But we need to hear from Mike and Marissa. It's very important. Mike?
Yeah, I agree with what everyone else has said. I like the Beauty and the Beast show. It is a good length. It's a cute thing to sit down and watch when you're taking a break. But like Steven, I hit Tower of Terror 2-3 times because the line's usually not that long. You can usually get on in 15-20 minutes, so it's not bad. And the fact that it's a 5-seed, like it sort of blew my mind at first, but then I was like, well, it's just a testament to how far this particular park has come since it was MGM Studios, and Tower of Terror was really its only thrill ride. But no, Tower of Terror is a wonderful ride. You get the little show. I still love the Twilight Zone thing. I think it's great. So, and I think the effects are cheesy, but they're kind of cool, and it's a great ride. And yeah, the fact they vary it up is also very cool. So Tower of Terror gets my vote all the way.
Tower of Terror picking up its fourth vote, and Marissa.
Yeah, I mean, everything's pretty much been said. There's nothing I can really say that everyone hasn't. Tower of Terror is fantastic. I haven't been on it in a while because nobody will ride it with me. Until, you know, now that Kieran's tall enough to ride everything with me. And I can't wait to get back on it. Tower of Terror.
Very good. And the fifth seed does pick up its fifth vote, moving it on to the second round. Up next, we've got the 4 seed of Smuggler's Run against the 13 seed of Frozen Sing-Along. Up first, we've got Nikki.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done much in the Star Wars universe there yet, so I had to virtually do Smuggler's Run. And I have done the Frozen Sing-Along, and to be honest, I kind of missed the little American Idol show. I really liked that American Idol show that used to be there. I liked that you got to vote, and there was different people, like, throughout the park. I mean, me and my mom, like, we would used to go to the American Idol show and watch, like, the finals, because it was fun. So, I don't know why they got rid of that. I guess because nobody watches American Idol anymore, which is fine, but I really liked that show, so I'm going to give it to Smuggler's Cove simply because I miss American Idol and I'm mad that Frozen's there.
All right. Smuggler's Run starts us off with its first vote. Steven?
Interesting matchup here because both of these attractions require something to make them good. If you're doing Smuggler's Run, you pretty much have to be in the pilot seat. The gunner seats really aren't that fun. You're just mashing a button over and over. Pilot seats, you actually have a surprising amount of control over the simulator, so that's a lot of fun. The Frozen Sing-Along, you got to have a guy leading you that can do crowd work, you know? It's basically a very scripted stand-up routine with a little bit of improv available to you, and that little bit of improv makes or breaks the show. If he finds someone in the front row that he can just drag the entire time, you're going to have a good adventure. You're going to laugh along with them. If he's kind of just sitting around, twiddling his thumbs, doing the jokes that are standardized in the script, it's just the Frozen songs we've heard a million times before. The difference for me here is just, you know, I grew up a tremendous Star Wars fan, and before you get into the actual ride seats for the Millennium Falcon, you get to go into the room of the Falcon where there's the chess set, and where, you know, Obi-Wan's sitting, where Han's sitting, where that famous scene is, where Luke has to deflect it with the blast shield down where he can't see a thing. And that just hits me on some level that they've recreated that so perfectly while you're waiting to get into it. And for that reason alone, I'm going to go with Smuggler's Run for this round.
All right. Smuggler's Run picks up its second vote. Mike?
Exactly what Steven said. I don't have particularly strong thoughts on Frozen Sing-Along one way or the other, but Smuggler's Run takes you into the fucking Millennium Falcon. Come on. Like, you know, okay, the ride experience varies on where you're sitting, but still, that's just awesome. And the detail that they did to recreate that, as Steven said, is great. Smuggler's Run, hands down.
All right, Smuggler's Run picks up its deciding third vote, but let's hear from Marissa.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I walked into that little alcove and you see the Falcon, it's just your heart drops, you feel like you're going to cry, and then you walk through the queue, which is incredible. You get to the area where they give you your card and what you're going to be, and that just blows you away even more because, again, you're in the Falcon. The only drawback is if you have a bad pilot, you're going to have a bad ride. We've come off of it several times where we just hurt because the person was a small kid or a person who didn't speak English or didn't know what they were doing. And your ride's over in 2 seconds because you've hit every single wall and didn't get any coaxium at all. I don't think we've ever done the Frozen sing-along. And Ellie didn't become obsessed with Frozen until just before the pandemic, so it's been shut down, so we haven't done it. But that's neither here nor there. Smuggler's Run gets my vote.
And a fourth for Smuggler's Run. And Joel, what say you?
Well, the king of unpopular opinions here. Smuggler's Run, I agree with Marissa on the pilot issue. It all depends who's piloting. Now, the last time we went on Smuggler's Run, my father was the pilot, and he took this very seriously. This was a mission to him, and he tried his best. When my wife does it, it's fun to knock into as many mountains as possible. So because of that, it's just frustrating as I'm the engineer trying to repair the ship every time she bumps into something. It is very touch and go. And because of that, to be honest with you, it's kind of one of those, meh, okay, I did it. It's fun. Don't need to do it again. Frozen sing-along. Again, I'm a sucker for the live performances, and I think that's what Hollywood Studios is known for, are the performances. That is just a fun show to me. I believe Steven and Mike were saying, one of them was saying, it depends on who you get, but it does have that little bit of change in there to where every time I walk out of there, I'm cracking up, I'm laughing, and I just have a great time. So my vote is for the Frozen sing-along.
And Frozen sing-along picks up a vote. Last ditch effort. Smuggler's Run moving on to the second round. Up next, we've got the 6th seed of the Rock and Roller Coaster versus the 11th seed of the Indiana Jones Stunt Show. And we're getting kicked off here with Steven.
Tough one, because Rock and Roller Coaster is legitimately a good coaster. It's a little small because it's inside, but they make good advantage of that with all the ultraviolet stuff that they've got going on there. It's got a pretty good open show. For a long time, we were getting the shocker and nobody noticed. That's kind of fun. Aerosmith's line, though, it's just perpetually a 70-minute wait unless you do it first thing. If you don't like at rope drop, run to the Rock and Roller Coaster, that's an hour plus of your day. And it's not a very long ride, so I don't know if it's worth it. Indiana Jones, yeah, it's stupid, it's cheesy. They haven't changed the thing since, 1986 or whatever. But I freaking love it. It's probably because I really loved Indiana Jones growing up. It's probably because it's one of the things I remember most from going to MGM as a kid. The thing that I love the most is that the script hasn't changed. There's the guy in the loud Hawaiian shirt. There's the boulder pushing up. There's the, tell us how dangerous it is when you're working with explosives. When you're working with explosives, it's dangerous. It's dumb. It's stupid, and it has this special place in my heart. So even though probably objectively Aerosmith is a better attraction, it's definitely the E-ticket, but I would rather spend that time watching Indiana Jones than waiting in line for the Rock and Roller Coaster at this point.
All right, I think Indiana Jones picks up a first vote. Mike?
I do agree with Steven. I think the Indiana Jones Stunt Show is actually really cool. Like, I don't even care that they have it, that you know, they haven't changed it at all. I think it's still a fun show to do, and I don't want to take anything away from it, but I love Rock and Roller Coaster. I think it's an absolute blast. I think it's a great coaster. It's not too rough. It has some fun effects, and it goes on longer than you expected. Title of your sex tape. And it has the added bonus, like 70 minutes? Use the single rider line. 15, tops, maybe 20. There's not a lot of single rider lines at Disney World, and that's one of them. And I don't think I've ever waited that long to get on that ride. So I'm definitely giving my vote to Rock and Roller Coaster here.
And Rock and Roller Coaster splits the vote here with its first vote. Marissa?
So I was over here like hands up because Steven, basically every sentiment that I feel about Indiana Jones, he already said it. I will never not go to Hollywood Studios and not do Indiana Jones. It's a staple. It's a must do. Everyone enjoys it. It's a crowd pleaser. One day, Jeff or somebody, I'm going to make go up and be one of the extras in the show because you can't do it in Disaster Canyon anymore because that's gone. Rock and Roller Coaster, I haven't ridden it in so long. I don't know the last time I rode it because, again, the line is always super long and I didn't have anyone to ride it with me. So Indiana Jones is definitely getting my vote on this one.
And Indiana Jones picks up its second vote. And Joel?
As playing shopper number 12 in the Indiana Jones show several times myself, I do enjoy the Indiana Jones show. It is very fun, and I agree. It's an icon, if you will, of the park. It's almost like Jaws was to me at Universal Studios, where it's just, you know what I mean? And I know that if they ever pull that out, it's going to be a heartbreaking day, because that's one of those shows that you associate with that park. That being said, my daughter is right beside me to make sure that I vote for her favorite ride, the Rock and Roller Coaster. I can't top the 0-60 in under 3 seconds launch of that. That is absolutely the best part of the ride to me. It's the only coaster that inverts twice in Disney parks. See, she's here. She's my fact checker here. And she has gotten so into it that I know it's kind of cheesy, Aerosmith. You're thinking, why Aerosmith and stuff? You know, it could have been the Rolling Stones Rock and Roller Coaster, or even the Kiss Rock and Roller Coaster, but they wanted too much money. Aerosmith doesn't care about the money. They care about the fans, and they wanted to give something for them. And now it's introduced my 12-year-old daughter to their band and their music, and one of the biggest fans that they have now is her, and I'm doing a lot of explaining on Double Entendres. So I've got to vote for Rock and Roller Coaster.
And just like that, we have our first tie of the night. Making our decision, a Rock and Roller Coaster versus Indiana Jones stunt show, is Nikki. Would anybody like to use their buzzer beater?
I think I would.
All right, go ahead.
There is one thing I want to point out, that we are talking about theme parks. And what is the theme of Hollywood Studio? It's a movie studio. We're looking at movies and movie attractions, or like television attractions. What the hell does the Rock and Roller Coaster have to do with that theme? How does it fit in with Hollywood Studios? It's not the movie roller coaster. It's not the TV roller coaster. It's out of theme. It doesn't fit. That's probably why it's wedged in that weird part of the park. It's not, let's go to Toy Story Land and live in that movie. It's not, let's go to Galaxy's Edge and live in the Star Wars movies. It's not even like, let's celebrate one of our Disney movies. It's just this weird thing that's not part of any production and really doesn't make sense in the park. But Indiana Jones, that's a movie we all love. We all need. And we all want to see him roll those boulders up the hill after he claims it's too heavy and he actually could get hurt. You laugh every time. you do. Vote the right way.
Very good. Thank you, Steven. Nikki?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this matchup because I really like both these attractions. You know, Indiana Jones, I love it how every time the, you know, the guy who's really the stunt double, like, there's always someone who's, like, super shocked by it. So it's pretty funny because I've seen it a million times, but there's always somebody who's like, oh, my God, he's not, you know. So I always laugh at that. You know, and I understand what Steven is saying about it being Hollywood Studios, but the ride is a limousine. I mean, it is still Hollywood. Yeah, it's Aerosmith, but it has like a rock stars are Hollywood, you know, esque. So I don't totally. Yeah, it's not a movie, so I get what he's saying there. So, but I don't know. I think though overall, I mean, I don't think I would wait 90 minutes for Rock and Roller Coaster if that's long of a line, but I've never had that issue. I mean, we always do the single rider line, and I don't think I've ever waited longer than 15, 20 minutes. So I'm going to have to give my vote to Rock and Roller Coaster. I think it's fun. I think it's one of the better coasters. I love the Indiana Jones stunt show. I really do, but at the end of the day, I would rather go on Rock and Roller Coaster.
Woohoo!
And just like that, Rock and Roller Coaster is moving on to the second round. Goodbye,
my daughter
Andy.
Is screaming.
And I'm crying.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I do love it. It was a bad batch. I would have voted for Indiana Jones if another match.
I know.
Could have gone against Frozen sing-along.
Yeah, who made this list?
I did. And that's where it landed.
That's a rough matchup.
Yeah.
Oh, very good, very good. Moving on to our next matchup. We have the 3 seed of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway versus the 14 seed of Voyage of the Little Mermaid. We're getting kicked off with Mike.
Oh, man. I don't know if this is going to be a popular opinion, but I'm not going to lie. I expected to like Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Did I get that right? Runaway Roller Coaster? Runaway Railway. Yeah, not a roller coaster. Definitely not a roller coaster. More than I did. I was like, they immerse you in a cartoon that should be so exciting and cool. And I know what my hangup is. They went with absolutely my bar none least favorite all-time character design for Mickey and Minnie. That's what they went with. I cannot stand that look for them. It's like Mickey and Minnie meet Ren and Stimpy. It's nasty, and I don't care for it at all, and it ruins the whole ride for me. I don't know. I don't know if that's just me. I don't know if other people are going to share that opinion, but just because of that, I actually have to vote for Voyage of the Little Mermaid here. It's a pleasant little show. I like the look of some of the characters in live action. It's nice. And I like the look of those characters way the hell better than I like the look of Mickey and Minnie in Runaway Railway. So that's getting my vote.
And Voyage of the Little Mermaid picks up its first vote in the making of quite the upset. Marissa?
Well, no surprise here. I disagree with everything that Mike just said. the style that they went with on the animation is not for everyone. It's very unique. I thoroughly enjoy it. I know that's the way that they're leaning with the Mickey and Minnie cartoons right now. The projection mapping is absolutely incredible. That dance room is so much fun with Daisy. Some people don't like it because of the cha-cha, but you know. Voyage of the Little Mermaid is so outdated. The room it feels disgusting when you go in to sit down. It's just like you're sitting in 30 years of sweat from people trying to escape the heat. There's no way it's getting my vote. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is just such a neat concept.
And Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway picks up its first vote. Joel?
Marissa kind of stole some of my thunder. The Voyage of the Little Mermaid opened January 7th, 1992. And that was the last time that theater has been cleaned. It just reeks of mold in there, and I don't know what it is. They don't change the filters or something, but oh my gosh, I that was one that I wasn't sad to hear closed down during COVID, and has not reopened yet. I will say this though, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I think what made that ride for me is we did it before we did Rise of the Resistance, because it's the same Amazon warehouse cart technology that, you know, that you ride around in that uses no tracks, but it was just like the great movie ride that they used to have where it rides around on the magnetic thing or Tower of Terror, but it's a lot more agile, and it was unexpected to me the first time I rode it. So it made it a blast to ride. It has two things going for me. One, you got Chubby, the cute little bird at the end. And two, you got Mickey playing a ukulele at the end. So between those two things, I love it. I got to go for Mickey's Runaway Railway.
All right. Mickey's Runaway Railway picks up another vote.
And Minnie.
The Runaway Railway picks up another vote. Get all genders and peoples out of here. We're moving on to Nikki.
You know, why did they take away the great movie ride? It was my favorite ride. I loved that ride. They could have updated the movies. They could have, you know, kept it movie and updated the movies. But no, they had to change it. So I'm a little bitter. I mean, so I like the Mickey and Minnie's Railway, but I just loved the great movie ride so much. And I kind of in agreement with Mike about the animation. I know I understand what they were doing. It is, and it does feel a little vintagey, you know, and I like that too, but it's a little borderline obnoxious to me. I don't like their faces. And I don't know. I like the Voyage of the Little Mermaid. Yeah, it is old, but it's fun. Abby loves going, she loved doing that one. And I think the smell is just the water always comes in. So it's like you go in and like, I guess it probably has like a chlorine smell. I don't know, but I never noticed it. So I have to go Village of the Little Mermaid. I'm sorry. Or Voyage, not Village. Voyage of the Little Mermaid. It takes a village for that one. And I like the little puppets. It's great.
I like so.
All right, and if I've done my math, we have another tie. On a 3-seed versus a 14-seed, is there anybody who would dare a buzzer beater?
I'll use a buzzer beater, even though I doubt that it's going to sway Steven in his ways.
Go ahead.
Just take into consideration the fact that this is the first ride that features Mickey and Minnie ever in the Disney parks. There's no Mickey ride anything. All you could do was meet them before. This was a huge step for Disney, and I think you should go that way.
God, that just makes the character designs even worse.
All right, Steven, it's on you.
So, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. It's the only attraction here that I had to virtually experience, because last time I was at Hollywood Studios, it was like a week away from opening. So I have not had a chance to actually ride it yet. I did do a virtual ride through of it on the YouTubes. So I have an idea of what's going on there. But it really didn't matter because it's up against Voyage of the Little Mermaid, which is a god-awful show. It's a terrible show. The only good song number in it is the puppets for Under the Sea. After that, there's no good song numbers because the Ariel in it is wearing the tail, so she sits for the entire show. That's not very interesting to look at. The place does smell of mildew. I believe what's going on there is because they release bubbles in every single show. It gets the seats wet every single day. And because they're using cloth seats instead of hard seats, that means they're going to be wet every single day because you're dropping bubbles on cloth, dum-dums. It hasn't been updated since 1992, and goddamn does it feel like it. It's using lasers on the ceiling to impress us. No, disservice to a Disney attraction. It's a disservice to the goddamn Little Mermaid, one of the most vibrant and jovial shows. And again, Ariel sits through the entire thing. They wheel her in, she sits, she sings a song, they wheel her out, and they do that three times. I'm sorry, but it is tragedy. It doesn't even have a real goddamn gift shop. It has a half a gift shop that spills onto the street where you gotta listen to those little kids sing the Disney Junior songs that I've already established I don't like. So no way in hell is Voyage of the Little Mermaid moving on. Kill it, and put a vote in for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad.
It already is dead. It's dead. It's dead.
And just to confirm, it is even more dead. Mickey and Minnie's Railway, Runaway Railway, is moving on to the second round. Our next matchup features a couple of new rides. The 7 seed Toy Story Midway Mania versus the 10 seed of the Alien Swirling Saucers. Up first, we've got Joel.
Ooh, so we actually have two rides in the same part of the park here that that have like themes too, and that was kind of a tough one for me. The Alien Swirling Saucers are a nice little take on the teacups with a little deviant to it by swinging it around. But it's still just kind of boring to me. And I think we covered a lot of this in the last one when we were talking about the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger ride. The Toy Story Midway Mania, I think, is great because of the immersive. It changes every time because of your own skills, and you get to actually play it and have an outcome to it. And it's something that every time we go, that's one of the, when we had fast passes, that was the other one that we always got a fast pass to when we went there. And it was just because we wanted to get in there and fight between me and my wife to see who could get more points. We couldn't ride that without having a competition. So, plus I have to admit, I really like the line in that. The nostalgia of going through all the toys and talking about them, and oh, you remember you used to play this, and we played this as a kid, and the talking Mr. Potato Head was always one of my favorites in that ride. So, I got to go for the Toy Story Midway Mania.
And the 7 seed picks up its first vote, Nikki.
Yeah, this is gonna like age me a little bit, but when I worked at Disney, when I was a cast member, we got like free passes to do this new ride, Toy Story Midway Mania. It was brand new and it was like super cool, and all the cast members got to go on it. So I have that fun memory of that. Yeah, I mean, the Alien ride is fine for little kids. I mean, but I don't know if it's that much different than teacups or Dumbo and all that stuff. I mean, maybe a little variation, but I mean, I think Toy Story Mania is really fun. I love shooting the balloons, and I agree with Joel. The line is really cool. Just all the ceilings full of toys and different games. It's just a lot of fun. So I'm going with Toy Story Mania.
And Toy Story Midway Mania picks up its second vote, Steven.
Yeah, I've done the saucers. I did it once, like the first time I went to the new Toy Story Land, and I don't ever need to do them again. I get it. It's one of those sort of really well dressed up carnival rides, but it's not anything super special. The Midway Mania is a really fun game, and it's a really competitive game. They've kind of hit the difficulty curve just well enough that everyone can kind of compete in it and do well. It's really kind of a smart ride, and like even the 3D on it looks really good. Like you never, like as you're going into a screen, you don't have to wait for it to adjust and to like de-blurify. So it's really a technological achievement. It's probably the best of the competitive shooting games, and I absolutely love it. Yeah, absolutely, all the way.
And Toy Story Midway Mania picks up its third vote. Mike?
Steven pretty much said all that I was going to say, so I won't belabor the point. Alien Swirling Saucers is fine, but it's essentially a fancy carnival ride. Toy Story Midway Mania. I agree with Steven there, too. I think it's the best of the shooting rack-em-up points rides, so it gets my vote. Moving on.
And it picks up a fourth vote. Marissa?
Yeah, this is Toy Story Mania. I do believe the Alien Swirling Saucers is the same ride system as Luigi's Flying Tires or whatever out in Disneyland, which is the same ride system from the Flying Saucers that used to be in Tomorrowland a long time ago. It's a carnival ride. You can do it wherever you want. But Toy Story Mania is so incredible. You can't beat it.
Plus, and you get carpal tunnel at the end of it.
And you can't go wrong.
From the unlimited buzzer round.
Yes. Very good. We have our second sweep of the region as Toy Story Midway Mania moves on. Our final matchup tonight is the number 2 seed Slinky Dog Dash versus the number 15 seed of Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. Up first, we've got Nikki.
I mean, neither one of these, I don't know if I would do. I mean, the Slinky Dog Dash is, it's cute and it's fun. I mean, for, it's like a kiddie roller coaster. I mean, it's an enjoyable ride, but it's always way too long of a wait for me. I mean, I don't know. It always just seems really long. And I can't ever get a fast pass for it. And it's not really one that I aim to get a fast pass for. And the Cars stuff, I really wish they had done more car things. It just seemed like they went away. Cars, when I worked at Disney, Cars was like the most popular thing. Like all the kids had Lightning McQueen, everything. But they never really made a ride or anything that did anything. I mean, this one's cute, but I think I will go for Slinky Dog Dash. I do think it's better. And I said it is really popular with a lot of kids and everything. So I will go with Slinky Dog Dash.
And Slinky Dog Dash picks up its first vote. Steven?
When it comes to Slinky Dog Dash, everything I said about the Rock and Roller Coaster line, just go ahead and double it, because the line for Slinky Dog is double anything you're going to do with a Rock and Roller Coaster. I think it's fortunate in this bracket that it drew a pretty easy matchup. Might be a little high ranked as a 2 seed. It's not my favorite coaster by any means. It's got that kind of fun part where the cart stops and you pull back like they're stretching out a Slinky Dog and it shoots you again. But that's not enough to take it deep in the tournament. But given the competition it's up against, I'll go ahead and put my vote into Slinky Dog for this round, because it's at least a little fun after the, you know, 2 hours you wait to get on it.
And Slinky Dog picks up a second vote. Mike, what do you say?
Yeah, like Steven, I was very surprised to see Slinky Dog Dash as a 2 seed. I mean, I think it's a fine little ride, but it did get a pretty easy draw here. And, you know, to me, it's, you kind of break this down to the Toy Story franchise is superior to the Cars franchise, right? So clearly it would make natural sense that the ride would beat the show. The wait is definitely too long, but as somebody pointed out, that Hollywood Studios is very much about the shows and has some great shows, but every time I go to a theme park, I'm going for the rides. So I'm giving my vote to Slinky Dog Dash.
And Slinky Dog Dash picks up its third vote. Marissa?
I think if we were talking about lights, motor, action here, we'd have a totally different ballgame. That show was incredible, and I miss it. And the only place you can see it now is in Paris. I've never ridden Slinky Dog Dash. We've never waited 3 hours in line because we have 3 kids. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And we've got 2 that won't even go anywhere near it. The ride through is cool. It looks like a lot of fun. So I'm still going to give it my vote, but I don't think it's going to make it past Toy Story Mania in the next one.
And we'll just have to come back to find out. Slinky Dog Dash picks up its fourth vote. And Joel, to wrap it up, what do you say here?
Can I just say, the thing that I hate about Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy, and as the king of upsets, I would love to vote for that. I actually think it's kind of a fun little show. It's a good little break where they got benches. You can go in, sit down, let the kids kind of go a little crazy in there a little bit, burn off some steam and cool off in there. The line for Slinky Dog Dash is way too long for the extent of the ride. I'd rather wait 60 minutes for Rock and Roller Coaster that at least does a couple inversions and the launch and has some pizzazz to it than to wait 75 minutes for basically a glorified up and down bumpy ride. I like Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy, except for the fact that they put the car on an 8-foot tall pedestal that you can't see if you're a toddler from anywhere in there. I mean, the car is raised up so high that no kid can see it. And if they stand on the Angelina, first thing she did was stood on the bench. The Disney ushers are right there yelling at you to no standing. You got to sit on the bench and sit down and stuff. And so I think that's the biggest flaw of that ride. They should have either elevated the seats more or dug underneath the ground and put like a basement to let the car disappear in for Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. So my vote is for Slinky Dog Dash just because of the fact that you can enjoy that ride and see it.
Very good. Slinky Dog Dash does pick up its fifth vote with another sweep in this Hollywood Studios region. If you like what we're doing here and want to help support what we're doing, please feel free to join us over at Patreon. We've just got this spun up, and we are at patreon.com/PTEBB. Over there, you'll find all of our bonus content. We've got our new show, Boozy Revisited. We've got any of our bonus trivia content, as well as anything else we feel like throwing up there throughout the month, throughout the year. It'll all be hosted there outside of our two main shows. As always, you can find us anywhere on social media at Boozy Bracketology, except for Twitter, where we are Boozy Brackets, due to their awful character limitations. And outside that, if you want to join us in our Facebook group, The Lounge, fans of Pub Trivia Experience and Boozy Bracketology, we're always on there chatting, having fun, arguing about whatever the most fun relative to the day item and topic we're talking about. I forget, what were we arguing about today?
Recently, it's been me ranting about the breakfast cereal bracket.
Yes. We've got a lot of rants about the breakfast cereal. I believe just recently we had a lively discussion over the validity and superiority of Prince Eric. We've got everything out there. Who knows? But we always love to interact and find out where we went wrong, because Lord knows we probably did. Outside of that, we look forward to seeing you in the next show for Boozy Bracketology. I've been your host, Jeff.
I'm Mike.
I'm Marissa, and I like to mess Jeff up all the time.
I'm Joel, and I'm not as drunk as Marissa.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm Steven, to all our friends out there.
Well, thank you so much, friends, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Friends.
Got a friend in me.
Wow.